Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back, folks. I reached out to Mayor-elect Helena Moreno last week and asked her about the possibility of coming on the show and spending an hour with us to talk about this amended 2026 budget proposal. You will recall in the last hour I described why it's an amended budget proposal, because Mayor LaToya Cantrell presented a budget already for 2026, and obviously she will be outgoing on my birthday, January 11th. And the new mayor will take her oath of office on January the 12th, and it moves forward from there. So it's a little bit of a weird transitional nuance that exists relative to the ideology of a budget, how it's going to work, what it's going to be. And that's why we have this amended 2026 budget. So in the studio, we have Helena Moreno, the mayor-elect, and Joe Geruso, who was the chairman of the budget committee representing the New Orleans City Council. Folks, thank you for coming today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah,
we
know thanks for having us.
Y'all are busy. Let's jump right into this. Helena, I want to give you the opportunity to kind of lay out the landscape and give the state of the state from your perspective.
So we are facing a real critical issue when it comes to city finances, and we are facing a very tough deficit. And so myself, my transition team, Councilmember Geruso, and members of the council, we really had to dig deep and figure out how we were going to move forward in 2026. The budget that the Cantrell administration put forward had predominantly 30% cuts across the board. And I've said that that's like taking a bulldozer to the city budget. I wanted our team, our transition team, to be much more strategic and surgical in the cuts. And I also instructed the team to ensure that public safety and essential city services like sanitation, that those were fully funded or as much as possible fully funded. And that's what we were able to accomplish. But Newell, I kind of need to kind of set the table here so that your listeners and the people of New Orleans can understand just how big this deficit is. So we did a deep dive analysis as to what would projected expenditures be if we kept at this run and spending rate. And that was projected to be roughly $948 million. Now, the Revenue Estimating Conference has said that the projected revenue that we're supposed to get in next year is roughly $725.6 million. So that means I have a $222 million deficit and some change. So a major deficit.
So what we budgeted deficit.
Budgeted deficit, I mean, yes.
So the mayor came forward and said, I'm adopting a budget that's $222 million in the hole.
So she, without any changes, she did the 30% cuts all the way across, right. And she would have had a balanced budget. I just don't think that that was the appropriate way to balance the budget. I mean, sanitation services would not have been able to handle a 30% cut. It's impossible for them. Code enforcement couldn't, you know, I mean, there's different departments that would have really struggled. So what we did was, one, I put Councilmember Geruso tasked with go look under couch seats and all everywhere that you can to find any additional revenue, even if it is one-time revenue. And let me be clear, there is some additional revenue that we've identified, roughly $75.9 million, but this is one-time. I'm making it very clear that I am using one-time money here. But we were able to also identify, you know, roughly $140, $150 million worth of cuts as well. So in moving forward with those cuts, one, I'll start with saying that, you know, the essential city departments, we were able to fully fund those and also set aside $38.9 million for overtime, which the legislative auditor said that this was the right amount to set aside for overtime, which is more than the Cantrell administration set aside. They set aside $24 million. And remember, in 25, they set aside zero. So then from the overtime money, we wanted to add an additional safeguard. So that overtime money is actually going to sit in the CAO's office. We've also talked to the legislative auditor about not just doing quarterly budgeting, but doing monthly budgeting by department so that all of us can keep our eye on the ball, the city council can keep the eye on the ball, and we can really get a real check on the overtime.
So just for the benefit of the listening audience, the fully funded departments include the NOPD, the fire department, EMS, juvenile justice, Orleans Communication, 911, public works, sanitation, code enforcement, safety and permits, recreation development commission, and the council on aging.
That's correct, yes. So then the personnel savings. And this is obviously where it gets tough. I tried to do whatever possible to mitigate layoffs and furloughs as much as possible, but it was not something that I could eliminate completely. So what I'm doing as far as personal savings is a reduction of 35 unclassified positions that are under mayoral control. I have not decided what positions these will be, but that will be what I'll review once we adopt the budget. Also, 75% of probationary employees. These are employees who have not been with the city a year or more. And that's roughly 62 people. We also have a hiring freeze of 75% of the vacant positions. And I do have to do a furlough day, one per pay period, which will impact a little bit over 700 employees. Now, this is for non-public safety and non-essential services. So this does not include NOPD, EMS, sanitation workers. Doesn't apply to the law department either because the law department is so backed up. So this is members of the mayor's team, CAO's team, city council, city planning commission. Those will be departments impacted by these furloughs. I'm also doing a collapse of certain city offices and combining them with other city departments. So the Office of Criminal Justice Coordination, the duties of that office will now be split between the health department and with the Office of Public Safety. And the position of criminal justice coordinator, the person who will take on that role will be the director of public safety and homeland security. You figure the public safety director should already be the criminal justice coordinator anyway. So that is a combination of roles there. And then we do also have a merger of the youth and families office and moving those duties over to the health department because the health department is already doing a lot of that work anyway. We do have some strategic reductions within the NOPD. There are roughly 20 people who were working on compliance with the consent decree. We sat down with Chief Kirkpatrick. She believes that she still needs 9 to continue to ensure that there's no backsliding, but there are 11 positions that can be eliminated. So that's savings there. And then NOFD had a couple of positions that they believe that are non-firefighter positions that they no longer deemed as necessary. We have additional consent decree savings with not having to pay for the monitoring team to constantly be in New Orleans, and that's a $1 million savings a year. And we have a couple of programs, including the Evening Reporting Center, which was a $600,000 a year program that unfortunately was only serving 12 to 19 kids a year. I can't afford a program, even with reductions, that's now at $400,000 a year for 12 or 19 kids for evening reporting. And then, of course, the travel expenses. There was a major budget for travel again for next year. And so that I've cut by 75%, and that remaining 25% for travel is only for essential travel and must receive the approval of the CAO. We've also been able to identify different departments that do have some fund balances where we'll be taking 25% of those fund balances. And then I guess kind of the big key part, then I'll turn it over to Councilmember Geruso, is that we have been able to identify revenue enhancements. Now, this is one-time money. So let me be clear. This budget that we'll adopt December 1, this is a start. Not only, of course, am I dealing with cuts and furloughs and all those things, I will also be working through different revenue enhancements. All different types of options are on the table. Everything from, I'm having New Orleans Building Corporation right now assess our potential top 30 properties that we could either renegotiate leases, that we could look at potentially selling properties that we're not using. We could look at long-term 90, 100-year leases on some of our properties, but putting our properties back into commerce so that we can generate more revenue. Taking a look at our fleet, we have so many cars that the city owns, and some are just sitting in parking lots. We also have a lot of non-public safety employees with take-home cars that's not necessary. We have to take a look at what we can do in partnership with our state legislature and having a very strategic plan as to how we can bring and recognize more dollars here in New Orleans, and also take a look at what additional new fees that don't impact people's cost of life here in New Orleans. One of the things that Councilmember Geruso will introduce next week includes a fee that'll help cover some of the overtime costs for Mardi Gras. It's a $20 per rider fee for the different Mardi Gras crews. So I figure you're going to pay a couple thousand dollars for all your beads and throws and everything else. How about an additional $20 to be able to capture about $500,000 to cover overtime costs during Mardi Gras? So those are all the different things that we have to continue to work on and think about. But this is just the beginning when we adopt this December 1. And obviously, we've started the work already. But December 1, when we adopt this, it is just the beginning. The work continues every day to find additional efficiencies, to find different ways that we can create operational excellence in the city of New Orleans, and to make sure that every single dollar is accounted for. But Joe, I know you've got the...
Yeah, let me just make an observation right there before we get to Joe. First off, I know that you recognize that one-time money for recurring operating expenses is not a good practice, but I believe, one man's humble opinion, that it's absolutely necessary to give you the breathing space as you move forward, right?
Yeah.
But I think you also recognize, because you just said it, that this is roughly 34% of the deficit is what's represented in this number, which means that in the following budget year, you know, the challenges continue. And that's what I've been telling my listening audience about as I looked at this budget, of things that absolutely necessarily have to be done, because it's a shock and awe kind of response to this crisis at this point in time. So let's do this. Before we get to you, Joe, we're just taking like two-minute breaks because we've moved a lot of our stuff to other hours so we'd have more time to talk. Let's get to the break right now, and we'll be right back with Mayor-elect Helena Moreno and Councilman Joe Geruso.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
With us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Mayor-elect Helena Moreno. Councilman Joe Geruso served as the chairman of the Budget Committee representing the New Orleans City Council. We just went through portions of the budget as it relates to not only proposed savings, but obviously one-time dollars that are coming in that are being utilized in order to get to a balanced budget for the fiscal year 2026. So, Joe, let's get now to the individual line items of the departments and what happens there.
Yeah, I hope I don't lose your listening audience by going over all the math here. But I'm going to try and do it as easily as I can. So the first one is sewage and water board collection. I know it's been reported sewage and water board owes the city about $85 million. And when Helena heard that, she pretty much hit the roof. So it became a, how do we go through it? So there's essentially four buckets, Newell, of money that the city is owed. The city's owed about $37 million from sewer. They just don't have that. That's going to have to be offset, which is fine. It'll help us do capital projects. But the big three buckets to get to the $32 million is that sewage and water board is owed for city work $22 million. And about a sixth of that is expected by the end of this month, and then the remaining 16 over the next couple of months. So that will be cash in hand to the city soon. We're also owed another about $5 million. It's $4.8 million, but $5 million from FEMA. That is being expedited right now, too. Expect to get that in 2026. And then the last portion are either bond projects or other street work that the city of New Orleans has fronted for sewage and water board. That's about 17. And what the transition team, the mayor-elect, did was conservatively say, we're going to peg that at $5 million. And by the way, there's $4.1 million sitting in escrow right now from traffic camera revenue that hasn't been dispersed. And sewage and water board has said they will pledge or guarantee that money to the city of New Orleans. So I think it's really important that everybody understands this isn't theory. These are real dollars that are coming back to the city. The next one is the Wisner funds. And again, there's sort of three separate buckets for this. As a result of our settlement with, and by our, I mean the council's, a result of our council settlement with LSU and Tulane, we're going to have about $7.5 million for this year. So there's already $7.5 million sitting in the bank. We actually got the LSU portion before we came on the show, which is about $1.5 million. We had about $6 million sitting in the bank. Every year, Wisner generates somewhere in the magnitude of $7 to $13 million. And now that the city is the owner, should be the owner of 100%. We're litigating the last 40. But now that we own the LSU and the Tulane portion, we own 60%. So we said conservatively, we take 60% of $10 million, and that gets six. And then the city filed a tax return because of a disagreement with the heirs, and we are going to file to get that back this year from the IRS, and that's about $4 million. So take 7.5, 6, and 4, and that's how you get roughly to about the 17.2 you have on your page, 17.5. As the mayor-elect said, another source we had to look at was ARPA funds to revenue replacement. If you really look at what the mayor-elect went through, you can see some things that just didn't make sense to keep money for. For example, we had nearly $4.2 million still allocated to ARPA administration and ARPA grants. There's only one more year left in the program. Mm-hmm. You just don't need the money for that long. And then we looked at other programs, too, to add and where money hasn't been spent. Look, one that was near and dear to my heart, and you and I talked about this because Jefferson Parish has the millage for juvenile probation, parole, and diversion. I had nearly $4.5 million allocated for juvenile probation to pilot it, see how it worked. There's still $3.1 sitting around. Mm. You just can't say we're going to hold on to that money at this point. So you took these programs, we've added them all up, and it's a little bit less than $15 million. The last two are parking enforcement and collections. And on parking enforcement, what the mayor-elect is putting into the budget is to hire 50 new parking enforcement personnel. Our numbers have been really low these last few years. If you look at the older budgets, we're closer to about $20 million in collection. Those have gone down significantly. The estimation is by hiring these additional employees, we will generate $21 million. But what the mayor-elect did and the transition team is, let's be conservative, because it can take time to hire people, and essentially put a third of that in here. That will grow as we keep on talking. I think I've heard Helena numerous times say, this is one-time money. Well, this is one of the few mm-hmm. that is actually revenue, and that should increase in the future. And the last one is collections. And I know, Newell, you and I have had this conversation countless times about making sure that money's coming in from whatever source, whether it's sales tax revenue, whether it's traffic camera, whether it's parking tickets. And one of the things that, they're going to have to do is have a person in finance who is the collections officer. And if we're looking, again, conservatively at parking tickets that are overdue, there's tens of million dollars that are owed and money that can be booted right now to get people in conservatively took a $5 million number. Mm-hmm. So again, all of these are things that either we are owed right now, have in the bank, or in the budget to collect, and that candidly required people sitting down across from one another, having conversations, having coordination, and leadership in order to get to this point. It wasn't easy to get to almost $76 million, but it was something that was necessary at this point.
Yeah, no, the numbers are real, as you said. These are not projected revenue numbers that are coming in, with the exception of the parking enforcement increase, but the others are, you know, real, especially on the collections that you're actually owed. I think you're going to have a modified amnesty plan that makes sense that to try and clear some of that.
And you're
only taking a small percentage of what the total is.
And, you know, there's an amnesty program now, and it's just it's not really advertised, which is a problem. So you really need to make sure that people understand that there's an amnesty program happening. We even talked about the fact that due to the amount of parking tickets that are out there, we could even run an amnesty program where we're like, we're going to even discount your ticket.
Yeah.
You know, so now you're even paying less than what your actual ticket was. So there's all different ways to
work. Use it to my ears.
Yeah.
I pay them.
We'll come to you.
So then we get, you know, to the change, I guess, in what the previous administration's approach was with which, Helena, what you talked about, the 30% across the board.
Yeah, I mean, in talking to different departments, whether they came before the council, Newell, or whether I had direct conversations with them, they were saying like the 30% cut was impossible. I mean, taking just sanitation alone, if I can go to my sanitation page. So sanitation was going from $71 million in 2025 to 52. And so Matt Torrey, the director, was like, it's impossible. There's no way. I can't do it. I mean, so that would have meant, you know, elimination of recycling service. It would just been impossible for him to be able to carry the same level of service for the people of this city who are already upset that there's only one per week collection. And so obviously we had to keep Department of Sanitation whole. We also took a look at the Orleans Parish Communication District, 911, that was receiving a really big cut, and work with them to get their numbers up. 911 already is having so much trouble recruiting people and getting people to work there. To have that level of cuts would have been really significant for them. Department of Safety and Permits, they were getting a bit of a reduction in the Cantrell budget. But as we all know, safety and permits, like that department can't receive cuts. Like, it's already struggling. Let's not cut them even more. Like, if anything, every recommendation we've seen from every good government study on safety and permits is that they are underfunded. So we actually bumped them up higher than they were in 2025. And then NORD was receiving a haircut in the Cantrell administration. And we hear so often that it's like our youth and people across the city don't have enough opportunities for recreation. So we kept them whole. And even Council on Aging. Council on Aging was receiving a big haircut under the Cantrell proposed budget. So we kept the Council on Aging whole at $1.2 million. As you know, Newell, right now people are struggling. And sometimes the programs and even different services that Council on Aging performs are some of the only opportunities that some of our seniors have to actually be with other people or sometimes even get a meal. So we didn't want to cut those services.
Well, they kind of serve as the infrastructure for when they get stuff from other folks too.
Sure, of course. Right? Absolutely, of course, of course. So that's how we looked at everything very surgically and strategically. And even when we met with departments that we knew we wanted to fully fund, like NOPD, we still went to the chief and said, Is there anything, though, that you could do that could be different? And that's where we came up with the different options on, well, it's like we don't need all these folks who used to work on the consent decree and come up with different ideas there. The chief, of course, is also working on some significant overtime oversight and new overtime guidelines. One of the biggest problems that we, of course, found occurred last year was just this like free-for-all when it came to overtime. And the LLA is very concerned about it, and he wants to see specific changes specifically coming from the NOPD. One of the things that the chief recently came to us about is that she realized that NOPD had been under kind of like an honor system since 2019 when it came to overtime. You could go on your phone and say you're at work. And now she's gone back to the biometric system that it's when you actually show up at work and you put your thumbprint or your eye scan or whatever it is, that now the clock starts running as to when you're actually accruing time. And so she's gone back to that, and she's doing better projections around her overtime. And so that piece is going to have to be managed very carefully. Overtime across all departments will have to be managed very carefully. But that's where we're at, you know? And I'll say this. I know that this sounds grim. This is not a good budget. I had really a whole option null of all horrible options and just tried to pick the least horrible to get us to where we are. But just because this is a grim budget, I don't want people to think that big things are not possible in New Orleans, because so many of the changes that are necessary in the city don't have anything to do with money, but they have to do with leadership. They have to do with leadership and the right people being part of city government, and city government working at a different pace, working with urgency, coordination, and collaboration, working with urgency and coordination to unlock all the legal issues over at Lake Forest Plaza so we can get that area developed. Make sure that we are taking a look at all of our different vendors and scaling back outsourcing work. Like, for example, all of our routine street maintenance, stop outsourcing all that work, scale back that contract, and start hiring up our street repairs folks within DPW. All of those things we have to work with urgency to do, and that's what has been lacking for quite some time. And so that we can certainly bring to the table, and I look forward to announcing my leadership team on December 2nd, the day after we finish the budget, so you can see who is now coming back into City Hall, folks who've been in the private sector who now want to come back and help their city, and then others who've never been part of city government, who are willing to take pay cuts to come into city government because they know what the city can be, and they know that with the right leadership, we can be so much more than we are.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting just when you talk about procurement, for example, most of those are backroom operations that nobody's aware of, but the downstream implication is you'll have more competitive bidding process because a lot of folks right now don't want to do it because the working capital of the city is the delay in paying their vendors.
No doubt.
So, you know, that's never a good process. Y'all know it. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. You've seen it, you know, with the council. If that starts to improve, there's going to be savings mm-hmm. that are going to come your way immediately.
Yeah. I mean, Joe and I used to have a whole list of different projects where we had all of these different contractors who just didn't want to bid because they're like, it's not worth my time doing business in the city of New Orleans. And so we're just not going to bid. And so the contractors who did bid said, well, you know what? New Orleans doesn't pay on time. And it's such a headache dealing with them that let me make it worth my while.
Oh, yeah. They're going to charge you a premium.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have such a limited pool that you had no choice but to pay these super high dollars for. That's how it ultimately impacts the taxpayer. That's how it impacts.
Well, you know,
the
and a lot of people, you know, were down on the vendors, and I said, look, folks, they got an obligation to their people. Mm-hmm. You know, if they're not getting paid for 90, 120 days, that's not how the business cycle works.
Now, at the same time, though, just real quick on the vendors and some of the contracts, I'm also doing through my transition team a review of all contractors and vendors for the city. All these different consultants and all these different things have to be looked at to see what is really necessary and what we need to cancel. There's also concern by the city council, and that's why we had to pass a specific motion today, that there could be some potential contracts that are being executed right now that we are not being made aware of.
Now, that would be a foolish exercise by this existing mayor to do that. She doesn't have much of a legacy now. I mean, the strongest point that she has for her legacy is to have a smooth and efficient transition period that makes sense without any silly games. Because when you play silly games, you're going to get silly outcomes.
And you get stupid prizes.
And you get stupid prizes, absolutely. All right, we'll be right back with Mayor-elect Helena Moreno, Joe Geruso, Chairman of the Council Budget Committee. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Helena Moreno, Mayor-elect, and Joe Geruso, the Chairman of the Budget Committee for the New Orleans City Council. As we look at the breakdown of the individual departments, on average, you're looking at just right around a 9% reduction, 8.7% reduction in their respective budgets in this amended proposed budget. Is that, am I reading that properly?
It depends. Obviously, the
on average.
On average, sure. And the departments who are, that are getting kind of the biggest cuts are the mayor's office, the CAO's office, the city council. So once again, we're going to the non-essential departments are the ones where you're seeing the largest cuts. And then from that point on, yes, roughly 10 to 15% probably.
And almost every department is being cut with the exception of just a couple. I was curious, Department of Finance is going up as well as I think there are shortages in EMS, and they must have modified last year's budget for those shortages.
So the EMS, actually, the more EMS crews we have, they're revenue generating. So that was actually helpful to add another crew. So that's where you see the bump for EMS. Department of Finance, as you know, Newell, we have the legislative auditor in the city. And we have the now weekly council meetings and weekly drawdowns for personnel because of the revenue anticipation note that we were able to get with approval of the bond commission. So finance has a lot more work and a lot more to do. And I can't risk them not getting it done because they didn't have the resources. So that's why they received a bump.
Yeah. It's also debt service, too.
And the debt service, too, which they did not, which they had not budgeted for in the past.
Oh, well, that's a big oops.
Right.
I mean, so in the limited time that we have left, obviously, I mean, I think one of the big issues here that you're really asking of the team that works for the city is really that one-day furlough. There are 260 working days, and you're asking for 26 days, you know, that you would eliminate in the 260 workday annual year. Nobody likes to do that, but you know that's in my view it's an ask, and I know I'll probably get criticized for this, but it's a reasonable ask, and I think in the position that you find yourself in, because this didn't just happen overnight. This was a multitude of years leading to this culmination of this previous budget that was filed.
Look, this is what we're being left with. This is a result of mismanagement over the past two or 3 years. And unfortunately, these are the consequences. I did all possible to try to mitigate the impact to our personnel. And the best that I could do here was furloughing a little bit over 700 employees. So once again, those that are public safety, those that are essential services, they're not being furloughed. They will continue working all their days. This is for the non-essential folks. So once again, that means mayor's office, that means CAO's office, that means city council. The city council will have to move forward with their own furloughs. All the elected officials, that means me, I'm furloughed, but I'm still coming to work. Council members, they'll be furloughed. Hopefully they'll be coming to work. I can't speak for them, but I'm assuming that they will. So that's what's going to happen. My leadership team, they'll be furloughed, but I will still be expecting them to come to work. And that's just where we're at right now. But we will get out of this. And I appreciate the legislative auditor sitting down with me and my transition team and taking a look at this budget and saying, it's like, look, y'all had a big task in front of you, and I just got elected 45 days ago or whatever. But I'm grateful to the great, amazing transition team I have that met with every city department, that ensured that the legislative auditor was kept up with what we were doing, and that now he looked at this and he's like, you have a workable plan. He's like, you guys were able to figure out a workable plan. And I'm going to get us out of this mess. I'm going to work every single day to get us out of this mess. Mike Wagasback, the legislative auditor, said, you know, he thinks that we can fully rebuild our fund balance and have enough recurring revenue with different things that we're potentially going to be working through and get out of this in 3 to 4 years. I told him I'm going to do it sooner. And so he's like, you know, glad that I'm challenging him on that hopefully, you know, 1 to 2 years we can get out of this. But I will move very urgently. And I hate to use the word aggressively, but that's how I have to almost move in this. I will move aggressively to identify new ways to bring more revenue into the city.
Well, I think everybody's looking for that level of aggression. You know, when you talk about looking at things monthly, it's absolutely necessary, especially overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, overtime, look, I've been the victim of not monitoring it. I mean, I did this for a lot of years as the CFO of the organization, from 1994 to when I became sheriff in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
There were years that overtime got away from me. Why? Because I wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. But the times that I was paying attention and making people come in and justify the overtime spent on a monthly basis, guess what? We had some years we reduced overtime 50%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because when you call people in and they have to justify what they're actually doing and they got to show it, you send somebody a budget of overtime and I guarantee you they will spend it. They will find a way to spend it. There ain't no doubt about it.
Right.
No doubt about it.
Right.
You know, and look, for me, I've been very disappointed with the outcome of this investigation, you know, relative to overtime and NOPD with these folks. And I'm like, guys, you have an opportunity of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You're going to make good money either way. Read the room. I mean, what are we doing? It's an embarrassment. I said, and if you lose me, one of the biggest proponents of law enforcement, I mean, you know, where do you find yourselves? I mean, you know, with the confidence, you need the public confidence to be there with you. And, you know, it's just one of those numbers. It'll get away. You send out a budget over there, they'll spend it. Yeah. I promise you they'll spend it. There ain't no doubt in my mind. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there with running, you know, the subunit and been there at the top looking down. So, I mean, you know, they'll figure out a way to get it spent. Same thing with just regular budget. You know, I loved managers that actually had surplus every year and managed the spend. You know, as opposed to in the last 45 days spending it all.
Right. Yeah.
But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Y'all have done a incredible amount of work in a very short period of time. This is not easy, getting everybody's reflections on where they believe everything ought to be.
And look, you know, from now until December 1, the council members will still kind of move a few little things around. And that is the thing that is also going to be different. I brought in Leslie Harris into this process because she will be budget chair for the council next year. Mm-hmm. Because I want to show that level of collaboration now and into my administration that we are working together as a team to get our city moving in a new direction and that we're all in.
And you're going to have to tweak. And when you're working as a team, it's a lot easier to tweak.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
There are nuances in everything.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yes.
So, yeah, makes perfect sense. Thank you so much and best of luck to you. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, Noel.
We'll be right back, folks. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Scoot.
You know, first of all, I feel a lot better about our city based on your last hour. A lot better about city. And, you know, it's kind of like the Saints rebuilding. The city's going to rebuild, and it might be ugly. Hey, the Saints have a new place kicker. It didn't take them long to figure that out. Glad they did. And also, the Pelicans won, and we'll talk about Thanksgiving, which is coming up in just 2 days.
Absolutely. Hope you enjoyed today's show, folks. We will see you again in the morning. Don't forget DawnBusters.org. Get that fried turkey from the world's largest turkey fry. They have a couple of dozen of them left. We're trying to sell them out by tonight. So check it out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.